Sound Living is made possible in part by KSER members, the Boeing Charitable Trust, and Stan and Mary Harrelson, in recognition of Northwest Hope and Healing.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Sound Living on this beautiful Friday afternoon. I'm Ed Bremmer, and you're welcome to join the conversation this afternoon on Sound Living with my guest, Mark Walton, chair of the Everett Port Commission. When Maritime Trust of Chicago went bankrupt, they left the Port of Everett with a master plan and no one to develop it. So since it was back to square one anyway, the port decided to open the discussion up to residents of Everett and seek their input as to how the land should be developed. And that is why Mr. Wolken is here today to talk to you about the future look of the Port of Everett and to give you the opportunity to talk to him about your ideas for the future look of the Port of Everett. If you have ideas, if you have suggestions on how to develop the port, join the conversation this afternoon at 425-303-9070. Call us and join the conversation at 425-303-9070 as we talk about the future look of the Port of Everett. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Let me ask you here at the outset I want to try and see the area that you're talking about. Is there a bluff? A high hill where someone can go and look down on the Port of Everett and see the land that we're talking about developing?
Yeah, if you went to Grand Avenue Park and you walked up to the hedge and looked down, the area that we're talking about is the area starting adjacent, the Marina Basin, the old marina that is just next to Marina Village, so behind the Weyerhaeuser building. That old marina area on the south end, just past the Navy base, going then all the way towards the new marina and the boat launch on the other side. So the area for development that we're talking about is that street level, generally from just a little bit south of Lombardi's, along the street, and then that upland area between those two marina basins. So it's about 65 acres inside of that area of upland property.
And am I correct in understanding that basically at one point in time there were two pieces of land that were under consideration for development, that there was the part that the Maritime Trust was going to develop, and then there was the marina itself, and they were two separate development plans?
Well, there's three parts to that. Within the upland property areas themselves, there was the area that Maritime Trust had the rights to do development on. Adjacent to that, as part of that upland area, the port retained control of some of that property, and it was called the Craftsman District. The best way to really describe it is a marine services district, the area for boat repairs, selling boat parts, those types of things. And then simultaneously, or coming along about the same time, was the need to master plan the future of the original marina area. We have that new south marina with the larger boats, but the original marina area where there's about 1,850 slips, that area was laid out about 60 years ago, and it's time to reconsider the configuration of it, how it moves forward, what kind of services it needs to have. So that was coming up at the same time that we got the property development, the upland area, kind of dropped back into our lap.
And that was because the development company went bankrupt, the Maritime Trust of Chicago.
Yes.
How far along in their plans were they when that part of the project came to a halt?
Well, they'd taken it through the entire land use entitlement process. So there was an environmental impact statement that was done. In Everett's zoning code, there's this creature called a plan development overlay, which essentially is a specialty zoning for a piece of property. It's a similar process that was done for the redevelopment of the industrial areas in southwest Everett. It's a similar process that was done for the development of the courthouse campus, similar to what was done for the Oliver McMillan riverfront redevelopment. So essentially, it's a tailor-made zoning for a specific project. That got down essentially to the very end. There's only one step left actually to finalize that, which essentially locks in what was reviewed previously. And we're going to complete that step so that we have it. It maximizes our flexibility to do that. We don't have to build it the way that it's laid out at all, but it gives us some of the things that the committee or the community probably thinks are pretty important that we keep. Had design standards, which were very detailed. It had public access outlined. It had certain public amenities laid out. So those are things, at least it gives us a starting point for kind of rebooting this thing and then moving forward.
And it also called for something like 640 luxury condominiums to be built. Is that still part of the plan? Is that still possible part of the plan? Has that been removed from the concept entirely?
Well, the environmental review looked at different alternatives for a mix of uses. And so the one you're talking about is the preferred use that they had laid out that called for up to 660, I think it was, condominiums and an unbelievable amount of office space as well. Those are the kinds of things I think we're going to revisit in some significant detail. What we're talking about in terms of what we're taking moving forward, again, are those design requirements for buildings that would go down there that also, you know, include your landscaping and how much open space around certain buildings. And then, and the layout of certain building pads. The mix of uses is something we clearly need to revisit. The economy that we have today, the economy we're going to have over the next 10, 20 years as this moves forward is clearly different than what was in play when this was laid out before. So we are not going to lock ourselves to that type of mix of uses.
We're talking with Mark Waltgren, who is chair of the Everett Port Commission. We're talking about the future design for the Port of Everett, and you're welcome to join the conversation this afternoon at 425-303-9070 with your ideas that what might be nice to have in that area of our community. The number that is I see most often quoted in the paper is that it was a $400 million project, that you had spent $83 million. How much of that was for Maritime Trust and in the bankruptcy? Do you get any of that back, 10 cents on the dollar or anything of that nature?
Well, the dollar figure that's been thrown out there that's been spent associated with the redevelopment is money that the port spent associated with using that property. So I've got a breakdown if you'd like me to go through some of it. It's really not.
You didn't write a check for $83 million.
We didn't write a check. The only check that Maritime Trust got from the port, I believe, was about 15 years ago or 12 years ago when they were actually first hired as an advisor. They were paid to do some initial planning for the project, but beyond that, all. The $400 million was the estimate of what Maritime Trust or someone would have to invest to build out the commercial portion of the project. The other numbers include the $27 million to build the new marina for the larger boats, a commercial district for marine businesses that was about $13 million, bulkhead repairs that was $9.5 million, the waterfront center building, $6.7 million, about $6 million in environmental cleanup, tearing down some old buildings and cleaning some stuff up. And in addition to that, another $5.5 million. 13th Street was a little over $4 million. The Esplanade and walkways, which have been built, was a little over $4 million. Another $3.3 million for other streets and utilities. A combined sewer outfall for $1 million. That's the money that the port spent. So things that are necessary for using that property almost regardless of what you use it for.
So even if Maritime Trust had not gone bankrupt, that money would have still have been
that was money spent. That was going to have to be spent anyway. And we're still not done with all the environmental cleanups that still need to be done to make that property completely reusable.
We're talking with Mark Wolkin, who is chair of the Everett Port Commission, on Sound Living this afternoon about the future of the Everett Port. And if you'd like to participate in our conversation, if you have some ideas about the way you would like to see that land used, we'd encourage you to call us at 425-303-9070. But right now we're going to take a break, and Becky is going to join us, and she's going to talk to you about why you should make that call now and become a member of KSER because of programs like Sound Living, which give you the opportunity to talk with the people in your community who are helping to make the decisions.
Good afternoon. Yes, it is the first day of our pledge drive here, and this is community radio. The model here is we broadcast to you 24 hours a day, and a couple times during the year we come to you and ask you to help us out. That's what pledge drive's all about. First day, the number to call right now, 425-303-9070. And actually, you can call throughout the hour and pledge your support, and you can also call in and ask questions. This is Sound Living. You can hear intelligent, in-depth conversations about things going on in our neighborhood. And you can also call in and put in your piece and have your questions answered by these people. We've had a multitude of guests throughout this couple of years on Sound Living, people, artists, people doing interesting things with the environment, politicians. All of that has come to your home, and I know you're listening. I know you appreciate this kind of actually civil discourse that occurs in community radio. So call 425-303-9070. If it can be done, it's $10 a month, $20 a month. These are levels that may fit in your budget and levels that you can donate to community radio. We've been here for 20 years. We've been celebrating all day, actually for a couple months now, our birthday. So we're looking for that catapult that will take us into the next 20 years, and that can be you by only now calling 425-303-9070.
And we're back on Sound Living this afternoon, and we're talking with the chairman of the Everport Commissioners. Mark Wolkin is our guest this afternoon. They are in the process of seeking community input into what to do with their port land and how to develop it to the best interests of the needs of the port as well as the needs of the community. And if you have ideas about what you would like to see, call us at 425-303-9070. I think on the 9th of March, you had what was the last of a series of public meetings where you were hearing from people. You invited people to your meetings to talk about this. Did anyone come? Did they have suggestions? Did they come with drawings? What was the result of that series of meetings?
Well, in those meetings, the only one that we really focused on the North Marina as the primary issue was the last of the meetings. We did
that was the one on the 9th?
On the 9th. We did three kind of mini retreats, except we just, rather than going someplace else, we just had a longer meeting at our offices. And, you know, we really didn't have a lot of direct input. There were a lot of consultants sitting in the office or the audience kind of looking for ideas about where they might be able to get involved. But what we went through and discussed primarily a process to engage the community and to put some options on the table so that we can generate discussion. So one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to put together a committee to give us, to help kind of vet out some issues, give us some options to consider. And we're in the process now of starting to come up with the names to kind of populate that committee. We're going to look to have some input from some architects, engineers, financial people, real estate people, a whole number of specialty areas, as well as some additional citizens, even though we'll also have several points in which we will engage the public directly. We're going to also just have people involved. We're actually looking to have some people involved in the committee that were actively opposed to the Maritime Trust Plan, so that we have those people inside and we're hearing the concerns up front so that we don't have to undo a lot of stuff later on down the process. We want to try to be sensitive to the entire community needs. And the port is a public agency. Everybody who lives in the district is basically a stockholder in it, and their interests are important. We're not a private business that just does what we think is best for us, a specific bottom line. We've got broader community goals that we need to meet, as well as making it financially feasible.
Did this stem in any way from the kerfuffle that came up with regard to the Collins building? Because I've got to say that the reputation of the Port Commission took a hit in some communities, as they seemed to feel that you were just paying lip service to community involvement, that they advocated and argued strongly for saving the Collins building, and you intended at no time to keep the Collins building.
Well, One thing I guess I could say is that the makeup of the existing commission, I've been on the commission now for just a little bit over a year, and I have the second longest tenure because I took office in December because I filled an unexpired term. So we have a fairly new commission, and I think that perhaps we all come from a little bit of a different background than some of the previous people on the commission, and maybe see things a little bit different in terms of how to do public outreach, how to get public information, how to consider those things. I think the backgrounds of at least the Commissioner McClellan and myself are both more grounded in actually dealing with project developments that could be controversial, and we have a lot more, I think, experience in trying to be sensitive to a multiplicity of views. We just come from different backgrounds. I'm not going to criticize the previous commissioners. I think they all did what they thought was the best job, and they did a lot of good things for this community. But I just think we come from maybe a little bit different background, and maybe just a little bit more personally sensitive to how to do that.
We're talking with Mark Wolkin from the Port of Everett. We're talking about the plans for the design of the Port of Everett and what it will look like in the future. And if you have your ideas about how to design it for the best use, call us at 425-303-9070 and join our conversation this afternoon. I suspect that the activities, the tragedy in Japan has refocused a lot of attention on our coastal areas. The aftermath of the 9-point earthquake and the tremendous tsunami has probably refocused a lot of attention on our coastlines, and I'm curious to know what this land is that you're talking about building on. Is this solid earth that you are building on? Is this fill? What are the design expectations for an earthquake for this land as you move forward in this?
It's interesting you ask that question because one of the key responsibilities that we're going to ask this committee to do is to take the geotechnical reports and the other technical reports that look at the how to build on that land and where the best places to do things are, and then consider the plan in conjunction to that. For example, right now, the tallest buildings that were planned on that property are out towards the middle of the property. And that was done before the geotechnical analysis was done. And you wouldn't build taller buildings where they say you should. You've got some cases of a couple hundred feet before you get the pilings to bearing. So that's one of the considerations, how tall certain buildings should be in certain places and where to build taller buildings. It's a lot more stable as you get closer to the street.
And you know what's underneath there?
We do now, yes.
Because I've seen some pretty startling videos from the University of Washington about liquefaction and earthquakes and things of that.
Yeah, and actually that's one of the considerations in design of buildings and in those kinds of areas. We did that. I was part of the project team for the Oliver McMillan project, and there's one small area of that project that had a small liquefaction zone, and there are designs, things they call stone columns that are used to actually dissipate the energy from an earthquake to slow down the potential for liquefaction. Those are the kinds of things that are going to have to go in to certain kinds of buildings down there, and all of those kinds of considerations need to be considered in where we put very specific types of uses.
We're talking with Mark Wolkin from the Port of Everett, and if you'd like to join the conversation, 425-303-9070. And as a matter of fact, we are joined now by Chris from Everett. Chris, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can just barely hear you.
Okay, well, I guess I have two questions. You said I'm in Everett, and I'm a stockholder. I'm a stakeholder, right? I own shares, essentially, in the port. And I guess my two questions are, is the port looking at the fact that I own a piece of the property as, am I going to get a return on my investment? Are we giving away public property and somebody else is going to make a profit on it? That's my first question. What is the port use of the property going to give back to me as a citizen? And then the second question I have is the only measure of that money? Because if the if the project can give back quality of life or access to the shoreline? Are those things considered? Is it just money that's considered when you think about the return to me as a citizen, as a stockholder, or so to speak, in the city of Everett?
Chris, those are great questions. You've been peeking ahead at my notes, haven't you?
Okay. I'll take my question off air.
All right, thank you. Two good questions. Is money the only option that you, as the Port Commissioner, because you have a mandate to operate that as a profit, that the only...
No. The answer is we're certainly going to try to make this project financially solvent, at least over the long term. But there are broader considerations that we need to have, significantly broader considerations. In fact, one of the other things that we did as part of this planning process that we are going to come back and finalize is it's a sustainability plan that we're doing, where we're setting goals for each one of our operations, not just the North Marina redevelopment, but all of our operations, and coming up with measures to ensure that we're carrying out our mission of serving the public. So for the North Marina, where's that rubber going to hit the road? We need to make sure that we identify the opportunities for the broader community to come down there and utilize that property and get a personal return out of it, not just a dollar return. We can't turn it into an exclusive gated community that only a few people living there are able to access.
I would call that La Jolla North.
Yeah. I'm not really that familiar with La Jolla, but I'll take it that that's an accurate description. I think of it kind of like a gated golf course community, except it's a marina community instead. I mean, we also need to make sure that it integrates with the marina as well, and that we look at ways to make the marina more of a public amenity to the extent that we can. People do like to look at different kinds of boats. People like to buy seafood off of a boat. We need to look at all of those kinds of things as we're developing the property out. So, yeah, we are looking at a broader definition of what the return on investment is.
If to just follow up on Chris's first question, if you are successful in creating this new development and it is a profit-making venture, does that mean you no longer have to come to the taxpayer to support your endeavors?
Well, possibly. I mean, this isn't the only endeavor that the port does. In fact, the redevelopment of property in this area is only about 20% of our budget. I mean, the marine terminals is our big business. We have other industrial properties that we're investing in. So whether we completely take the tax away or not, we're not even close to that discussion yet. It's only about 10% of our budget. The small amount that we take in for taxes, and it is paid for capital improvements exclusively, capital improvements, environmental cleanup, and public access. So, if we got to the point where we had a significant return on everything else we were doing and we didn't have any other goals that needed investment, yeah, maybe we would take the tax away at some point. But we're not close to that.
We're talking with Mark Walton of the Port of Everett, and we've got another caller this afternoon. If you'd like to join us, the phone number is 425-303-9070. And Jackie from Everett is joining us. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Hi, Ed. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you have a question for Mark.
Well, I do. Really, I have a comment and a question. The comment is I have some issues, some concerns about the proposed water bottling plant. I seem to have difficulty with that. Just saying it. I'd like to have more information, and I'd like to know where I can get that. But the real reason that I called is I heard him say something, and I've only just tuned in. I just got off work. I heard him say something about bottom line, and I've missed some stuff because I went back in the building. And what I would like to suggest that if they're not already doing it, that the port entertain what I hear called the triple bottom line, and I've heard it called two different ways. One is people, profits, and planet. The other being economy, environment, and equity. And I'd like to know if the port has talked about a triple bottom line approach to its development or whether that's even been part of the conversation.
All right. Well, thank you, Jackie.
Two
good questions. What can you say about the bottled water plant that seemed to spring up out of nowhere when the other company stopped its process here and moved up to Anacortes, and now this Evergreen is coming in. Can you say anything about that?
I don't know what more I can add that's new. We have had discussions with a company that is a water-based beverage plant. It's not just water. It's fruit juice mixes with water, a number of things with the primary market in Asia. They've had discussions with our property people. They've had discussions with the our shipping people, and we're waiting for them to get back to us with more detailed information.
Are you, as a port commission, an entity that can make a unilateral decision about this without going to public hearings and environmental review and impact statements and things of that nature?
Well, it depends on where it's built, but we do have property that has gone through master planning that as long as it fits into certain kinds of parameters, we probably could move forward, but they still need to negotiate with or develop something from the city to purchase the water, and there's a lot of other things that would need to be done, but it is something that could be somewhat fast-tracked.
Is there paperwork? Is there anything extant that you know about that people can go and...
There's nothing that we've received on paper at all.
We're talking with Mark Wolkin of the Everett Port on Sound Living this afternoon. We're talking about what the future port might look like, and you're welcome to join the conversation this afternoon, because that's what we do on Sound Living. We bring folks from the community in and give you the opportunity to talk with them. We're going to take a brief break, and then when we come back, we'll continue our conversation here on 90.7 FM KSER.
And hi, I'm Becky this afternoon on Sound Living. I'm here on this break because we are in our first day of our pledge drive here at KSER. That's we're a community radio, non-commercial radio station, and we have survived for 20 years, actually thrived for 20 years, because listeners just like you have called 425-303-9070 for that many years, making community radio possible.
We still get carded, though.
We do, or we'd like to think we do. You know, to expand upon what Ed was saying, you know, that we create this discussion. You know, it's actually we create a forum for very civil dialogue, and it's a great opportunity we have in this community that we have a this type of call-in show. It's very rare to be able to produce something like this. It's very resource-heavy, and you're taking a chance. You know, and I am constantly amazed at our community, our citizens who call in with intelligent, civil, respectful questions or concerns, as well as the answers that are given back to them. So if maybe you don't know that what it really takes and the chances that are put out there to produce a show like this in our community is rare, and Everett and Snohomish County has it, and it can only continue if you call 425-303-9070.
You know, we were chatting with Mark before we started the show, and we were talking about the port meetings and the lack of attendance that people get or the port gets when they have their open meetings. And it's real simple. It's because people work.
Yeah.
Well, you know, now is a chance when you're driving home to be able to give the port some feedback that you may not be able to give otherwise, because, you know, you as a listener are out working or doing whatever when the actual port meetings go on. So this is an important avenue for feedback.
It's accessible, it's convenient, and can fit in your schedule. So that's what we give you right now. This is what community radio and KSER in particular is giving you to the community. Now we're asking you to help back. Call 425-303-9070 with something that works for you. New member, $35. Maybe you can come in at $70 or $10 a month. Whatever works for you, it's time now to give a call, 425-303-9070.
And we are back this afternoon with Mark Wolkin, who is chair of the Port Commission for Everett, and we're talking about the future design for the port. In the wake of the bankruptcy of Maritime Trust of Chicago, it gives them the opportunity to go back and take a look at their plans and incorporate more citizens' input into just how we want our shore to look. And if you'd like to join the conversation this afternoon, it's 425-303-9070. And let's get back to Jackie's question before we took the break and address that question of accountability, the environment, sustainability. And let me ask the question from a different perspective. Does the port have to operate for profit? Could you change your charter and operate as a not-for-profit entity?
I guess it depends on how you define profit. We have no way of operating in the hole. So we do have to have income that is sufficient to pay for all of our obligations. So from that perspective, no, we couldn't change it so that somehow there was just an empty bucket. That's the only answer I can give you to that question. In terms of the question specifically that Jackie asked, I think he did miss a little bit of the first part of the discussion, or maybe just got a piece of it. But we are going through the adoption of a sustainability plan where we've taken every one of our discrete operating areas. So the North Marina redevelopment will be a portion of that, as well as the marina operations, our marine terminals, all of the different discrete operations, and using a measure that is similar to the triple bottom line analysis that Jackie suggested. It's actually a little bit broader than that, where we're looking at not just what the dollar bottom line is, but we're coming up with other measures that are appropriate to each one of those lines. So for the marina, that will include environmental standards, definitely. The development of the North Marina will, all of them include certain, meeting certain environmental metrics, as well as the bottom line for the dollar, but also then looking at how we're serving the general public, how we're providing public access, how we're providing certain cases what the job impact is of what we're doing, so that we're measuring all of those things, so that what we're investing in on behalf of the public gets a broader return.
We're talking with Mark Wolkin on Sound Living this afternoon, and you're welcome to join the conversation at 425-303-9070. If you have some ideas about what you would like to see on the Port of Everett property, call us and join the conversation. Sean is joining us right now from his car. Good afternoon, Sean.
How you doing?
Just fine.
I'm just curious, maybe you can tell me what the story is with that part of the port. I don't know if it's actually Everett, but just south of Marysville, that large open area that about 10 years ago was leveled off and grass planted.
That's the Tulalip landfill.
Oh, okay. Okay, so no near-term plans for development of that?
That's owned by the Tulalip tribes. That's a closed and capped Superfund site.
Okay, and then what about if it's in your area, that area just west of the river and north of Highway 2 that's had a similar process? Any idea what's going to be done there yet?
West of the river and north of Highway 2, so I think you're maybe referring to the old Kimberly Clark log yard where there's lots of chips stored down there.
Yeah.
Kimberly Clark owns, I think, still about 25 acres of that, and the city of Everett owns the remainder of that property.
Okay, and I heard at one point that the university might be located there, but is that pretty much not going to happen at this point? It's going to be at Everett Community College, I think.
Yeah, I think that train left the station a long time ago.
Where that university is going to be located right now is a great big to be determined, I think.
Right.
Sean, thanks for calling us this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right. We're talking with Mark Wolkin of the Port of Everett, and if you'd like to join the conversation with your ideas of what you would like to see, I know what I would not like to see, and that's what they did down in San Diego with their port that they have down there. But currently in this country, we don't have an ethic where we put a real monetary value on keeping spaces open. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of just about anybody who was a developer would say that the highest and best use of Japanese Gulch would be to develop it. Yet there's a great community effort and city effort to buy that property and keep it undeveloped because of the aesthetic and the aesthetic value of it. If it were part of the community effort, is there a way that land could be kept open and not developed so that we have an unobstructed view, so that we have hiking paths and trails and marshes for birds and things of that nature? Could that open space be incorporated as part of the plan?
I suppose. You're talking specifically about Japanese Gulch, or are you talking about
I'm talking about the port district.
the North Marina.
The North Marina, yeah.
The North Marina. There definitely will be open, undeveloped areas that will be part of this. There needs to be areas that that the general public who are not patronizing a restaurant or living there or buying something can still get down to the shoreline and access it and have things to do. So whether that's in the form of a multi-purpose area, maybe an amphitheater type of thing, that could be part of it. But there was some open space that was part of the original plan, and that's clearly one of the first things, what I call the sideboards that we want to put around the development. Where are those areas that we believe as a community are the most important parts of the public access experience down there that we want to lock out of identifying for any kind of commercial use and make sure that we build the rest of the project around those things, not the other way around.
But you need to hear from the public that they want that
yes.
they don't want to turn our downtown or our port district into another downtown port district for San Diego or something of that nature, where it's just building after building, or you go to the beaches of Hawaii and you see hotel after hotel after hotel. You have to be told that that's what...
We certainly need the input to make sure that we're hitting the target. We'll put a lot of different, hopefully a lot of different ideas and options out there for people to consider, but we do need people's input into the ideas of how to best make that work.
We're talking with Mark Walton, who is the chair of the Port of the Everett Port Commission, and if you'd like to join the conversation this afternoon, you can do so at 425-303-9070. We're going to be coming back with Mark after we take a break and talk with him about what the next step is, what the process is going to be, and you're welcome to join the conversation. But first of all, give some thought to the fact that you're able to talk with Mark right here, right now, and I'll just tell you that next week we're going to be talking with Bob Drewell, former Snohomish County executive. Now he is head of the Regional Transportation Commission. He's going to be our guest next week. So these are people that make decisions, and you have the opportunity to talk directly with them because of this program and this radio station. So think about it and listen as Becky tells you how you can help maintain this radio station.
That's right. It's because of this wonderful radio station, KSER 90.7 on your dial, that makes this program possible. We're in our first day of our pledge drive, and if you didn't realize, we never have commercials here. We don't have advertising influencing anything that goes over the air. And so these are normal working folk in all aspects of lives here in Snohomish County and beyond who come and talk about what they're doing in our community, whether it's the art or the politics, or here we have a port commissioner. So, and it also gives you an opportunity to take part in it. And this is meaningful, informational, educational session that goes on here. It's a kind of KSER sets the stage for a trusting and respectful, safe environment.
One thing I've been real impressed with as far as the guests that Ed has brought in is how many interesting people live right around our community. I mean, people with interesting histories, whether it was in World War II or, you know, we have authors, we have artists, you know, it's just really, really uplifting in a way to find out how much Snohomish County has living right here. You know, we're in the shadow of Seattle so much, but it's really neat to find out what's going on right here in our community.
So we want to encourage you to put a value on that right now in your life, actually a dollar value. It's a donation. We're a 501c3 nonprofit, and we exist here in your community because so many people just like you have come to call this number, 425-303-9070, although it's been different numbers through the years because we've been different places, but it has been 20 years of service to the community, and we want you now to make that phone call to launch us into the future, keep this type of programming, Sound Living, going for generations to come, accessible, convenient, easy way for you to participate in the community dialogue here. It's Sound Living, it's KSER that makes it all possible, although it is you, really, who makes it all possible when you call 425-303-9070 with your contribution. So whether it's $10 a month, maybe you come in as a first-time member at $35. Whatever works for you and your budget, now's the time to do it. What's the number?
425-303-9070. 9070.
And we're back this afternoon on Sound Living, and we are talking with Mark Wolkin, who is a chairman of the Port of Everett and the Port of Everett Commission. And you'd like to join the conversation this afternoon as we talk about laying out the plans for the Port District in the wake of the bankruptcy of Maritime Trust. Our phone number is 425-303-9070. I think the Port controls about 6,000 acres, more or less. How much of that land is available for development?
Well, if you're counting 6,000 acres, there must be some underwater land that's included in that, because I don't think we have even close to that in terms of developable area.
I think I read it on your website.
I'll have to take a look and see what that includes, because I'm counting up in my head, and I'm not getting even close to that. We have the Mount Baker Terminal, which we actually lease that land from the federal government. That's the barge terminal over in Mukilteo that takes the oversized containers up to Boeing. We've got a little bit of ownership associated with that. We're trying to get the oil dock area transferred to us so we can hopefully transfer that over to the community in Mukilteo for other uses. So that's something that we don't have control of yet, that hopefully will at least it will pass through our hands. We have the South Terminal, our marine shipping terminal areas, which is a few hundred acres. That's a pretty tight footprint. We don't have a lot of excess land down there. In fact, if anything, we'll need to expand that out a bit in the future to be able to handle some broader variety of vessels. We've got the North Marina area and the redevelopment, the 65 acres we're talking about, which is associated with about another 120 acres of marina area and some upland. The remainder of our properties, the Baywood property, which is down next to Geldwin at Preston Point, that's about 18 acres. And then we have the what's called the Riverside Industrial Park, which is the old Weyerhaeuser Mill B property, which we're in the process of still trying to redevelop. We've got one primary user down there, the county's rail garbage intermodal terminal that I actually developed when I was in the garbage business. But we have a lot of a lot of active interest in those properties. So I'm fairly hopeful that that we'll have a lot of those under development here in the next few years. And then one little bitty parcel over on 36th Street that we're in the process of selling that just doesn't meet any of the port's needs. We do own Jetty Island, but that's certainly not out there for development.
When you say that. Development, how do you define development? When you say you've got these parcels of land that you hope to see develop, what goes through your mind when you say the word development?
The North Marina I see as a changing the layout of the land so that you have mixed commercial and other, potentially even some other business uses, marine related uses, maybe some residential, maybe some hospitality, hotel, restaurant type of thing.
Have you visited a port where you think they've got it right?
The Port of Bellingham in the Squalicum Marina redevelopment, they've been doing that in kind of pieces, and the south end of that, where the Bellwether Hotel is and a couple of restaurants, I think they've done a pretty good job of how they've gone about that. You know, there's some areas in Vancouver. Vancouver is really difficult to make a comparison because you've got such a much larger population base. But there have been some activities in those areas that I think we could draw from. Some other Vancouver Island port areas have done some good jobs. So there's lots of little examples you can draw from. I don't think we're going to just take somebody else's development, photocopy it, and try to stick it down here. It's going to have to be something that meets the Everett market, something that meets the needs for the Everett community. And we need to be very cognizant of how we make that happen.
We're talking with Mark Wolkin, who is chair of the Everett Port Commission. If you'd like to join us this afternoon as we talk about the future of your port, call us at 425-303-9070 and join the conversation and show tell us what you think you would like to see down along the port. What kind of a timeline are you looking at for coming to some decisions to do this?
Our time frame that we're looking at right now is we're hoping to have the public really heavily engaged in the fall. We're going to try to get our we're going to have two different advisory committees, one that's actually already formed for the marina master planning exercise, so that we can look. We need to make sure that whatever we do down there, that we have this existing investment we've made in those marina areas. We need to make sure that those don't get strangled by what we do on the upland area. So we need to make sure that we're hitting that with the land that we have there. At the same time, we're looking at other considerations. The committee then that will look at the broader redevelopment footprint will start meeting hopefully by the end of the spring or so. There's a lot of background information they're going to need to go through. We're hoping to do a some kind of a planning exercise where we'll bring some people in from the outside that will kind of lay out some vision ideas that then will give the committee something to chew on and then to present back out to the community, so that a year from now, hopefully, we're beyond all the planning stuff, and we're actually trying to move actively towards setting some targets that we want to try to make happen. Now, in the meantime, we're open for business. If somebody did come in with a proposal to do something down there that that was clearly something that everyone involved would say, yeah, boy, that's something we really need to have, or if that's something that would really fit down there perfectly, we're certainly going to engage in those kinds of discussions and not stop and wait for the whole discussion process to go. That just wouldn't be a prudent way to manage our property. But hopefully we'll be through this stage of the planning exercises, and we'll be setting goals and targets so that we don't just put a plan out on the table, but we need to set things in motion to then say, these are the things that we think can be done first. This is how we want to go about getting somebody in to help us do that, and then go after those kinds of uses.
It sounds like you're saying that the Port of Everett is going to maintain control of this rather than going out and finding a maritime trust too and turning it over to them.
Yeah, I'm probably jumping ahead of a decision that we're going to ask the committee to weigh in on. I guess it's because it's going to take a pretty sizable effort to convince me that we need to hand this over to a developer. It may have made sense for the first go round if it had all come together. At this point, I need a lot of convincing that that's something that would make sense. And I am very far away from being there. I think that we can make sure that things get done the right way if we maintain more control of it. We also then don't put another entity in the middle that needs to make a return on their dollar investment that then diminishes what our end would be as well. It gives us much more flexibility in terms of how to get our monetary return at the same time that we're also ensuring that we're meeting the broader public needs. So I'm just a long ways away from turning the keys over to somebody else.
So you would look towards the Port Commission then doing the financing and doing the all of that aspect of it?
Not necessarily. If you look at the example of what Port of Bellingham did in the Squalicum Marina, what they did was they identified parcels, development parcels with certain kinds of uses they were looking for, and then they worked individually with developers on smaller pieces. So someone would come in and build a specific use, just like a restaurant would be an example. There's a couple of restaurants down there that Anthony's has developed that they have a direct tie with the port, and there's not a third party in the middle of that.
And the timeline, would you say that you would like to see a plan in place by the end of 2012? Are you at a point where you can look at dates at this point, or is it too premature for dates?
Oh, it's probably premature to be real hard on them, but I think a year from now we ought to be at the point where we have a fairly good idea of what the plan looks like long term. How long it takes to then implement it is going to be the next question. We have some environmental cleanups we need to finish before a lot of stuff can get done in certain areas. I really think that beyond that, it's kind of hard to then set where the time frames are.
So sometime in the fall, though, you would anticipate having more public meetings?
Definitely.
And things of that nature?
Very active public input. And it's not going to be a guarantee people. It's not going to be just one round of opportunity for people to weigh in. What we want to do is we want to have people weigh in. We want to fine-tune things based on the information we've gotten, go back to people, and make sure that that this is something that we have a broad community buy-in to the direction that we're going
to
go.
Well, I would like to invite you back sometime in the late fall to talk about some of the ideas that you had expressed at some of those meetings.
That sounds great.
And I'd like to know, your term in the port is up in the end of the year. Do you anticipate coming back and wanting to see this all the way through?
Yes, I do anticipate doing that. I think I can say that without violating PDC rules for having not filed an announcement with them yet. But I've only been on this for a little over a year, and these are the one thing that's intriguing about port districts is a lot of the stuff you do is very long term, and so spending the time to see some things through to the end, I think, would be worthwhile.
Mark, thank you for joining us this afternoon. My guest has been Mark Wolkin, one of three Everett Port Commissioners. Would you like to see that five, by the way? another discussion.
Yeah, I mean, we gave a shot at it. It went down in flames. I certainly would like to see a way that that we could have more opportunity to have dialogue amongst the commissioners other than during just a couple of public meetings per month. I think that might make our work better.
Mark Wolkin is chair of the Everett Port Commission, and is there a website where folks can go and place input into this? Have you reached that point yet where there's a place where they can go and access a website and put their ideas in?
Yeah, there's people can always provide ideas through the port website, which is portofeverett.com.
Next week on Sound Living, we'll give you the opportunity to have some insight on the future of transportation with Bob Druhl, former Snohomish County executive, currently the executive director of the Puget Sound Regional Council, which came together in 1991 by the local governments to have a forum for key decisions on regional growth and transportation. And we'll talk about transportation in the region next week on Sound Living with Bob Druhl. My guest, Mark Wolkin, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon on Sound Living from KSER, a production of the News and Public Affairs Department. It's made possible with engineering help this week from John Jameson, and we'd like to hear your thoughts and suggestions as well. Email your comments to news@KSER. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting KSER. It's not too late. If you'd like to join the radio station, you can do that by calling us at 425-303-9070. Stay with us. Democracy Now! Is coming up next, Between the Lines at 6 and Left, Right, and Center at 6:30 this afternoon, right here on KSER Everett.